tip today in association with Slattery's of Pecan, your main Peugeot dealer for over 50 years in the Premier County. Slattery'sGarage.ie.
1800 938 007. The text and WhatsApp 083 311 3311. Fran says you've done your part in converting everybody to the new religion. Okay, what new religion would that be, I wonder? Well, there you go. Well done to David Donna says, and the people of Carrick for keeping up the campaign for the reopening of St. Bridget's Hospital. And if Miss Butler is not able for the heat, she should get out of the kitchen, says Mary, who's in Dundrum today. Caroline was on to us from Clonmel. And Caroline says, what a beautiful song from Mike Hanrahan for his mother. It was very beautiful and very touching, and it brought a tear to my eye, says Caroline. And, okay, lots more in on St. Bridget's as well. People absolutely incensed about what's happening in Carrickshire where that is concerned. I mean, every single Saturday, people taking to their cars and showing their displeasure. And out there protesting, and you know, I mean, the lady's not returning, as they heard on that Zoom meeting that, according to David Dunn, was very, very annoying indeed. But there you go. All right, let us talk gardening, and delighted to be joined by Alton Nesbitt from Centenary Home and Garden. Good morning, Jim Alton.
Good morning, Fran.
Good to talk to you today. It was a wet old night. And we're expecting good weather over the next few days. But what does that mean for gardening, Alton?
Really, it's a fantastic time because everything is with that moisture and that heat. There's a great burst of growth. And lots of things are starting to come into flower now as well and giving a great display, especially a lot of the herbaceous perennials. Things like your lupins, your hollyhocks, your delphiniums and things like that are coming into great colour now at the moment. Now, these things, because they have quite large flowers as well, and you do have that kind of explosion of soft growth, they will need some kind of staking or support with them as well. Because once the flowers start forming on these, they get quite large, and if they're in an exposed area, they tend to rock in the wind, and that could snap the flowers off. So it's very important to give them a good plant support as they're growing. So things like little bits of bamboo cane and string that you can, as they're growing up through it, that would give them great support as well for to hold the flowers. Because I always think that, especially with the delphiniums, they get quite tall, nearly about 6 foot high. Or even, don't you know, your lovely sunflowers as well. They'll get quite large, nearly up to 8 foot. So, I mean, they need, any of those tall herbaceous perennials would need quite a good support with them. So a bamboo cane right at the back of the plant, and then as they're growing, just tie them to it so it gives them great strength and then they show themselves off an awful lot better as well.
Should most of our planting be done by now?
All the planting, really, or any of your herbaceous perennials and any of the shrubs as well, should be all done by now, because really there's great active growth, and they need to have a really good root system.
Yes.
Because we will get a drought and they need a good root system to be able to harvest themselves over that kind of stressful time when you get drought. So I always think if people can transplant plants, let's say especially large shrubs or anything like that, do that in the dormant season. Really between the end of September to March is a good time to do that. To transplant any large trees or shrubs or anything like that, do it at that time of the year when it's dormant. And then at this time of the year, they have a good root system on them. They don't need that much watering either, so they're well settled.
All right, loads of questions in for you. What would I put on sweet pea to give them a bit of a boost, Alton?
Yeah, with sweet pea, they do get a mosaic virus on them sometimes. They get this kind of yellowing on the stalks. So it's very important to give them an acid feed, something like the rhododendron azalea feed or a thing called sequestrin of iron. And also feed, in between that, feed with your tomato feed. And that will boost them on and give them great colour and lots of flowers. Now, with sweet peas particularly, it's very important to have them in a very good, hot, sunny spot, because the more sun that goes onto the plant itself, the more flowers you will have. And as the flowers are forming, keep taking them as a cut flower. for the whole table, because the perfume of the sweet pea is magnificent, especially any of the annual sweet peas. And you get them good, in a good variety mix of colours as well. And there's lovely old-fashioned types that have the lovely, lovely strong scent off them as well.
Very good. Somebody has green flies on roses, wondering how can they get rid of them.
Yeah, really with roses, always at this time of the year, because it's getting very warm and humid, that you will have an explosion of green fly on your roses, and a lot of your plants as well. So if you find that they're getting very sticky, or even with the beech trees as well, you often find the leaves kind of curling. And so with the roses, once the leaves start to curl, there's normally white fly or green fly that's underneath the leaf there. So spray them with a thing called Rose Clear, or multi-rose or rose shield. These are great sprays. They're a fungicide as well as an insecticide. So they'll get rid of any black spot or mildew, as well as any green fly or white fly that's on your roses.
All right, Len was on to us and he says, I planted laurels a few months ago. They don't seem to be growing. Any ideas, please, or what should I be doing with them now?
Yeah, with laurels, they are quite a hungry plant. And because they're only planted this year, it's very important to wash them well during the dry spells. With laurels, and if they're out in an exposed area where they're exposed to wind and that tends to burn or scorch the leaves, especially the new leaves that come on, that they're quite tender and it tends to give them a burn. So it's very important to put up kind of a shelter, like you can get this, it's called a mono shelter belt. It's a green mesh that you can put up at one side of the hedge. So that will protect it from any very exposed wind. So it gives it some shelter to get going. And then also feed it with this poultry manure fertilizer along the base of the hedge. Because it's high in potash, it actually forces the foliage on quite quickly for you and gives them a great start. But watering is very important as well. And if you find that some of them are very bleached, let's say they're very pale in colour, the laurels, is use a thing called magnesium salt just at the base of the plants, and that will help to green them up and make them a lot healthier and give them a good kickstart to produce loads of foliage for you.
Somebody has an issue with creeping elders. It says here, yeah, it's everywhere. Can Alton help?
Really, which creeping elder now is quite
difficult. What is it, Alton, first?
Now, it's like a herbaceous weed, really. Mm. It's a ground root system on it, and it has lovely kind of a lime green flower on out of it. But it's very invasive. So it will take over a border or a bed very quickly for you. So it's very important to use an SBK brushwood killer spray onto the foliage of the elder weed. So once the foliage comes up, which is up nice, it almost forms a carpet in between your plants or in between your shrubs. So use a ready-to-use 1 litre size SBK brushwood killer and spray that onto the foliage. Now you have to do that about 3 times. So you do it now, after 3 weeks later, that will kill it, and then it will come up again. You spray it again, so you're going to tire it out, and then do a third spray on it as well with the SBK brushwood killer, and that will get rid of it for you. There's no point digging at it or pulling at it, because it really more digging you do to it, you cut up the roots and spread it even further. So it's much better just to spray it with a translocator chemical like the SBK brushwood killer.
All right, speaking of weeds, how can you get rid of bishop's weeds? It's all around the shrubs, Alton.
Yeah, which again, you see, you have to use a spot treatment on it. So we have a Roundup gel that you can put onto the leaves of the bishop's weed, or a thing called, don't you know, bindweed is another thing, convolvulus. If you put it onto the foliage of the weed, that will work down to the root system and kill it. So do a spot treatment on it in between your shrubs, so you don't affect your shrubs or your plants. You're only going to put the chemical right onto the leaf of the weed, so it works it down to the root system and kill it. So Roundup gel is quite good for that.
Right, we're back to roses again. Listener on to Emma to say, I used the Rose Clear spray on my roses, but is there anything I can use instead? The leaves are faded, they turned a different colour. Normally I have great roses, but I just don't know what's up with them. There's black spots too, and they look a bit withered.
Yeah, really, with the roses, if they're becoming, if there's an awful lot of mildew or black spot on them, you can give them a feed, something with added magnesium. There is a top rose fertilizer that you can get, and just a fistful of that at the base of the roses, and with the added magnesium, gives it more disease resistance onto the foliage and makes a much darker green, rich foliage on them. So anything that has added magnesium to it is quite good. But really, spray if the green fire is getting resistant to your rose care, use a thing called Nordoff Bug Freeze, bug and larvae spray. We have that it's a more organic based one. It's one that you can use onto the foliage, but always spray this late in the evening time as well, so you don't get any scorching on the new leaves. So spray late in the evening time with the bug free, bug and larvae spray, Nordoff.
Okay. Somebody wants to know what feed would Alton recommend for window boxes and how often should they be fed?
What's very good, we have a fantastic feed, actually a liquid feed, for hang baskets or window boxes or any containers as well. And it really gives a great display of flowers. It's called the One Feed. So it really is fantastic. All you use is a little capful of that into a 10-litre watering can and give this a feed in between your plants. And you get have a flourish of massive flowers from your hang baskets and window boxes. So it's the One Feed is probably the best one.
All right. Somebody else planted 3 packets of lucifer bulbs in April. There was 10 of them in each of the packets, but none of them grew. They were grown in 3 different places. I'm so disappointed. Any advice or tips on this, says Mary?
With any bulbs, it's very important to add a little bit of silica sand into the hole where the bulbs are going, so that it's free draining. What happens with bulbs, if they're sitting in water or anything like that, it tends to rot them. So it's very important, even with your lilies or even your daffodils or tulips or crocuses or anything like that, is really add a little bit of silica sand at the base of the hole where you're pushing them and place the bulbs on top of that, and so that the root systems are never sitting in water. So it's free draining. So a little bit of silica sand is probably the best thing to do.
All right. My peony roses haven't flowered this year, but have very healthy looking leaves. Do I need to feed them?
Really, with peony roses, if they haven't flowered, it's really probably to do with either too much mulching on the top of the tubers. So what I would do is tend to scrape away any, let's say, the topsoil off the top part of the tuber, so that the tubers are exposed to sunlight, and that forces them to produce loads of flowers for you. It's really nothing to do with feeding or anything like that. It's really for the tubers to be exposed to sunlight, just the top part of it. So remove any excess soil that's on the top of the tubers, and therefore that will force it to produce loads of flowers for you.
All right. Fran, I'm invaded by snails this year. I'm out every night with a head torch harvesting Lescargot. In my 60 years, I've never seen anything as bad. Is that because of weather?
It is, and because, you see, our winters are getting much milder as well, that we're getting a kind of an infestation of slugs and that. So really, because there's quite a large amount of them, it's very important to just use a kind of an organic-based slug pellet at the base of your plants. So any of the plants that are more sensitive to it, things like your hostas, your even marigolds and things like that, is just put a little bit of slug pellets just at the base of them, and that keeps them at bay. Now, these things that you can use as well, but I would just use, because I don't really like using any chemicals on slugs, it's a good idea. It's just use a thing called a copper band, just to put around your containers. Let's say, and I always think any of the plants that are very susceptible to slug damage, things like your delphiniums or hostas, I would always put a copper band around those plants so that they can't get attacked by the slugs. So you use a copper band around those.
Well, that's very interesting. All right. Any suggestions for getting rid of horrible strong grass in the lawns, please?
Now, with Scotch grass that's going into your lawn, you often have these kind of dark patches in your lawn. The only thing is to do a spot treatment on it and use almost like a marigold first of all on your hand, and then a woolly glove over that. And what you can do is just kind of put your hands through the grass of the Scotch grass with a Roundup. And that will kill any Scotch grass that's in your lawn. But you have to do it as a spot treatment like it. So you just pull the blades of grass with your hand so the chemical goes only onto the the Scotch grass itself.
All right. I planted tomato seeds. They're growing. How big do they need to be before I can move them to a bigger pot?
Really, when they get to the first flower truss. So then you transplant them into a larger container. So really, when it comes to the first flower truss, when it's about 9 inches in height, then transplant it. Now, it's very important that you have your tomato plants hardened off as well. So, I mean, there's going to be no risk of frost now, I wouldn't think, because the evenings nights are getting much milder. So transplant it, water it well after transplanting as well, and make sure you have a bamboo cane at the back of that, or even a string, just to give it support, because it will get tall quite quickly. Remove any side branches from your tomato plants as well, so that you don't have a large bush of it growing. You just want a single stalk going up with the flower trusses every 6 inches or so.
And somebody wondering about tomato feed as well, whether or not they can put it on all flowers and perennial shrubs.
I always tomato feed is great, but it's really, really just specifically for tomato plants, and has a high potash feed. I think with bedding plants, it doesn't do as good. You seem to get an awful lot of foliage with it. So I always prefer to use the one feed for any of your bedding plants. It's a much better, you get a much better display of flowers, really, with the one feed.
Right. Phil,
and always do that. Always feed late in the evening time. A lot of people tend to do it kind of midday, and that will scorch the foliage of the plants, the bedding plants. So do it late in the evening time with the one feed.
All right. Phil wants to know, can a weeping cherry be moved now?
No. Weeping cherries are much better to be transplanted in the autumn time. So once the foliage has gone off it, when it's gone into a dormant state, is transplanted then. It's the wrong time of year to do that. So only do that in late time, let's say November to March is the best time to transplant.
Somebody wondering, any suggestions for getting rid of buttercups without using chemicals? I know that when I'm cutting the lawn, it's as if they're growing behind me when I'm cutting it. They're very prevalent this year, aren't they?
It is. There's an abundance of them. Mm. Buttercups are quite an invasive thing, especially the creeping buttercup. That will spread quite quickly. Now, really, the only thing you can do if you don't want to use a chemical as such is use the vinegar and washing up liquid. Do a ready-made mix of it. Let's say mix it into a litre of water, into a litre-sized container, and do a spot treatment on your lawn with the buttercup itself. Just hit onto the buttercup, and that's the only way to treat it.
Right.
Now, otherwise, just dig it out. Of it, really, by hand. You know,
there's so much of it.
There is so much of it, and you see, it does. It almost has a kind of a network of root system on it, or these runners, and they root quite quickly into the soil. So even if you did a spot treatment of the white vinegar onto the weed itself, that will help to keep it at bay.
All right, there's a lazy gardener like myself wondering, after cutting the grass, do you have to collect the clippings or can you leave them as they are?
Collect the chippings, because I really don't like any thatch forming on your lawn, because what happens is you get an awful lot of moss forming and then a lot of patchiness in the lawn as well by a lot of weeds. So it's much better to collect your clippings and then use that as a mulch or even compost it, and it makes a great compost. And use a thing called grotto compost maker in between each layer of lawn clippings. And that helps to break it down quickly. And that makes a fantastic mulch on your borders and along the base of your hedging as well.
But these newfangled robot garden mowers, they don't collect the clippings.
They don't collect the clippings, but they do it quite regularly, and there isn't a thatch left.
Right. Okay.
So that's the difference. If you leave, let's say, if you do it once a week and you have this awful thatch left afterwards, it makes it very, very patchy. If it's more regular, it should be fine, but not leaving mounds of it.
Right. A final one, if you would. I'm a novice gardener. I have a large and mature neglected garden. I'd really love to take care of my garden, but where would I even start?
Well, I would sit for a year and looking at the garden, really, and to observe what is there. And because at different times of the year, you have different plants coming in and out of colour. So really, it's important not to rush it. And find out what plants you have, and really get the different aspects of where the sun is at different times of the day as well. So really don't rush it. Realize what you have in your garden and utilize them as much as possible. That means there'll be an awful lot of herbaceous plants that are only starting to come up now that you would know existed. And try and mark where everything is. So then you can lift and divide them and move them around in the autumn time. So any of the large moving of shrubs or trees, do that in the dormant season in late autumn. And then you can plan your garden, different aspects of it during the year then.
I have a very short time left, but do you want to deal with this? Because Dawn was on to us and she is rather annoyed that she says we're promoting the use of insecticides and pesticides and spraying plants when the population of the bees are being decimated, and she goes on to say all the stuff about that. Do you want to deal with that?
We do a large selection of organic-based herbicides and insecticides that are bee-friendly, that won't affect anything. So any of the Nordoff products are quite good for that. So that's why I try to promote that more than ever.
Yeah.
And especially things that aren't too harmful to the wildlife or to birds or insects. So any of the newer products are good for that. But again, I only do things, let's say, if you have plants that are sensitive to slug damage or that, put them in containers. Mm. Don't have them out in the beds where they can get munched at. Or plant things that are more resistant to attack from green fly or white fly or that,
Alton, it's always a pleasure. Happy gardening and thank you and good morning to you. That's Alton Nesbitt there from Centenary Home and Garden. That's it for me. Emma produced and Stephen is on the way with the time tunnel. I'll talk to you tomorrow. Look after yourselves, won't you? Bye-bye.
Join the conversation in Tipperary. Contact us through Facebook, Twitter or email tiptoday@tipfm.com. Tip FM's Tip Today with Fran Curry.
In association with Slattery's of Pecan, Tipperary's main Subaru dealer. Slattery's Garage Pecan, the name you can trust for over 50 years in the Premier County. Slattery'sGarage.ie.